Thank you everyone for coming to learn together with us. You know, I sometimes find that it's like amazing how quickly a yontif sort of jumps upon us, and I feel like I'm totally not ready, and like it's almost Hanukkah, tonight is Hanukkah, so it's great to have this opportunity to learn together and to really prepare. So what I wanted to talk about was a phrase that we say in Aranisim. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Rabin Biad Ma'atim. Hashem gave the many over into the hands of the few. The many Greeks were defeated in battle by the few Jews. So it's a little bit ambiguous, right? Who's the many? Who's the few? How exactly did this battle go down? So it seems like there are different things that the Gemara says about this. So first of all, the second source here, the Rokayach. The Rokayach writes, Rabim hayu hayuvanim biyad ma'atim naflu. So the many Greeks fell into the hands of the few. So how many were many? Eru pei eref gayasos. These were 80,000 soldiers. Shabo im gaskalgas harasha, who came with his general Gaskalgas. Pasaf gaskalgas va'amar. So his general said, Shotim, you fools! Yeshbachem yud beiz ish shayasu mechama im chayo she'en lo shir. What, you have 12 people and you're going to do battle against a massive army? You guys don't stand a chance. What are you guys thinking? So the many here refers to 80,000 soldiers, and they're fighting a battle against 12 people. The Mishnah Brura seems to have a contradiction in terms of how exactly, you know, this battle went down, and I think Rabbi Torchina's shir already answered this question. But the Mishnah Brura writes in one place, both in Hilchos Chanukah, but he writes here in Source 3, Ad sherichur malaya melokei avoseinu, so Hashem had mercy on us, v'hoshia miyadam, and saved us from their hands, v'hitzilam, v'gavu b'nei chashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gedorim, v'hargum s'l'chashmonoim, right, the sons of the chashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gedorim, v'hargum defeated the Greeks, v'hoshia Yisrael miyadam, and then he tells us when this happened in history, v'chazra malchus li-Yisrael yetzra masayim shana ad-achur ben ha-sheni, and the rain returned to the Jewish people for another 200 plus years until the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it was the B'nai Chashmonai who was leading this battle. It was the children of Matis Yoko and Gadol, the Chashmonaim led the battle. The Mishnah Brura says here in Source 4, a little bit later on, Shechira Yehudis, as Rabbi Torchina discussed, Hi Aisa Bito Shal Yochanan Kohen Gadol, so Yehudis was the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, V'haisa Gzeira Shekol Arusa Tibor Atav Satchira, there was this evil decree, V'achira V'rosh Atzorim Gvina V'shechruso, so she fed the general this cheese, V'choscha Asrosho, she killed him, she cut off his head, U'baruch U'kulam, and they all ran away. So it almost sounds as if there was no battle. She killed the general, and the entire army ran away. So was there a battle? Were the 12 B'nai Chashmonaim leading a battle? Or was it just Yehudis killed the general and then they all ran away? So I guess Rabbi Torchina already addressed that question. I think that another part of this question, though, the primary part of this question comes from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is a little bit less well known. And I found it particularly interesting for two reasons. First of all, because of its relevance to the story of Hanukkah, but also because, you know, there are certain things that we understand as Jews, one of them being the tremendous value of the Torah, right? We say in the Shabbos davening, HaNechamadim Mizav U'mipaz Rav, the Torah is more precious than gold. We say, Yekara Himit Minim, Shlomo HaMelech wrote that the Torah is more precious than pearls. So we definitely have a great understanding of the value of Torah. But do the nations of the world understand the value of Torah? So maybe some do and some don't. But listen to the story about how the Romans understood the value of Torah. So the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Avodah Zarah and Daf Ches, here in Source 5, Tchosim Utrein Krove Avdu Romae Behade Yivanoi. So the Romans fought 32 battles against the Greeks, V'lo Yachurahu, and the Romans were not able to defeat the Greeks. Adishat Finu Yisrael Behadayu, until they partnered up with the Jewish people. They made an alliance with the Jewish people, and then finally the Romans were able to defeat the Greeks. V'hachi asnu b'hadayu, this was the deal that the Romans and the Jews made. I minan malchi minayu miparchi, if we're going to appoint the king, then you can appoint the governors. I minayichu malchi minani parchi, if you're going to appoint the kings, then we'll appoint the governors. V'shalchu rei omayri v'anay, and after the Romans had made this deal with the Jews, to them they sent a message to the Greeks. And they said to the Greeks like this, Ara idna avidna bekrava. Until now, so we took our case in battle, right? We fought battle to decide who would win. Hashtana vidbedina. Now let's just debate this logically, and we'll decide logically who's going to control the world. Amazing, right? So my goddess v'eventeris, the Romans said, if you have a pearl and a precious stone, Which should serve as the base for the other one, right? If you have a diamond ring, so the gold is the base, and you put the diamond ring on top of the gold, because the diamond ring is more valuable than the gold. So let's say you have a pearl and a precious stone. So which one should serve as the base for the other one? In other words, which one is more valuable? Whichever one is less valuable serves as the base, and whichever one is more valuable is the primary part of the jewelry. So shalchu v'humar golos le'evan tova, that the pearl is less valuable, and therefore it'll serve as the base for this precious stone. So then the Romans asked, evan tova v'inoch. Let's say you have a precious stone and some other type of precious stone. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but this other precious stone is more valuable. So evan tova v'inoch. The Greeks said very simple. The regular precious stone serves as the base for the more valuable precious stone. So then the Romans said, okay, inoch the sefer Torah. You have this super valuable precious stone and you have a sefer Torah. Which one should serve as the base for the other? Eizem ehem yaseh basis l'chavero. So the Greeks answered, of course we understand, says the Greeks, inoch the sefer Torah. The inoch, the precious stone, serves as the base for the more valuable sefer Torah. This is the Greeks and the Romans both agreed to this. So shalchu v'hu, so the Romans sent back to the Greeks, anan sefer Torah gaban v'yisrael b'hadan. We have the sefer Torah on our side, we have made a peace treaty with the Jewish people, we have the sefer Torah. So kafu v'hu, so the Romans were able to subjugate the Greeks gave in, they said, okay, now you can control the world. Amazing, right? So esrim v'shish shlim kamu v'hu b'ham nusayu b'hadan yisrael, for 26 years, so the Romans kept to their side of the bargain. Mikan ve'erach ishtabdu b'hu, and after that, they subjugated the Jewish people. They didn't stick to their side of the deal. And just for the sake of time, the continuation of this quote just basically tells us when in history this took place. And from the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara is that it took place approximately 200 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, at exactly the same time as the story of Hanukkah. So what are we supposed to make of this? On the one hand, we have Rabin Biad Me'atim, either 12 B'nai Chashmonai fighting against thousands and thousands of people, a massive Greek army. Perhaps it was just Yehudas who killed the general and everyone ran away. Or perhaps the Jews made a treaty with the Romans, and the Romans together, the Romans leading, were able to defeat the Greek army, and that's how the Romans took over as the world power. So which one is it? I'm not quoting, none of these are, you know, far out sources. There's a Gemara of Arizara, which tells us that the Jews made a treaty with the Romans, and that the Romans then defeated the Greeks. So it's a Gemara of Arizara, so how are we supposed to address this? So, the next source here on the page is a translation that I found on Wikipedia, from Sefer HaMakabim. And basically, without reading the whole thing, what he says here that's significant for us is towards the end, actually on the second page here. He says, so the beginning here discusses how the Romans did in fact make a treaty with the Jews. There was such a treaty, and it's recorded in Sefer HaMakabim. And then towards the end, it says here on the second page, the second line, concerning the wrongs that King Demetrius is doing to them, we have written to him as follows, why have you made your yoke heavy on our friends and allies, the Jews? If now they appear again for help against you, we will defend their rights and fight you on sea and on land. So it sounds like this treaty is taking place during the time of King Demetrius. And from a little bit more Wikipedia research, basically King Demetrius came after Antiochus IV, the Antiochus that we know of from the Hanukkah story. And therefore, this treaty that the Jews made with the Romans was after the Hanukkah story, after the battle against Antiochus. It's from Wikipedia, so it describes a little bit about what was going on. And it says that the treaty was signed during the Maccabean revolt, but if you look a little bit further on, the last word on the third line of this source, he says that after winning a number of victories and capturing Jerusalem, then Judas Maccabeus sent these two emissaries, and then they made this treaty with the Roman Senate. So it seems like what happened was, first, the Jewish people, led by the Maccabim, defended Yerushalayim. They fended the Greek army off from Yerushalayim. And afterwards, together with the Romans, or perhaps primarily the Romans overtook the Greeks as the world empire, in terms of conquering the leading world power. Now, it's interesting to note that we started off here with this Perush from the Rokeach. But Rokeach says that 80,000 soldiers came together with this general Daskaldus and picked fun and mocked the Jewish people, saying, how are you 12 people going to fight a massive army? So 80,000 sounds like a lot to us. But let's look at a Gemara, or actually this is not on the source sheet, but I'm going to read to you a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which talks about a different battle that the Jewish people fought, or that the Jewish people didn't have to fight because they were miraculously saved. And that's when Sanhedrin came to attack the Jewish people, and just overnight, we're told that they basically all died miraculously, and the Jewish people were saved from having to fight a battle against him. But the Gemara there says, Ba'alayim Sanhedrin HaRasha, this is not on your source sheet, I apologize. So Sanhedrin came against them, Ba'arboim V'chamisha Elef Ish, B'nei Merachim Yoshim B'krono Shazav. So Sanhedrin came against them with 45,000 princes. And with 80,000 strong armed soldiers. And with 60,000 people carrying swords. And beyond that, the rest were horsemen. Certainly sounds like an awful lot. I didn't do the math right now, but we're well beyond 80,000. And then the Gemara says, "V'masmisa tana yirinta nebraisa olach machaneu abemeres parsi." Their camp was 400 parsa, tremendous distance. Sach machaneu, and how many people were in his camp? How many soldiers did Sanhedrin have? Masayim v'shishim, 260 ribo arafim chaser chad. 260,000. Right? So we're in the millions already. So in terms of Sanhedrin, when a world power came against the Jewish people in the past, Chazal tell us there were millions upon millions of people coming to attack us. And here Chazal say, how many people were coming against us? 80,000. If it's really the entire Greek army, the entire Greek empire, it would make sense to assume that Chazal would depict the number of people coming against us as a much larger number. And I think therefore it makes sense to say that what the Jewish people did at this time, what the Maccabim did, was they fended off a very strong and very powerful army that was placed in Yerushalayim against them. And they managed to fend that army off. The Gemara of Isaiah is referring to the entire Greek Empire, and that's not what the Jews single-handedly were able to conquer. Now, there's a very nice idea that I saw from Rav Chaim Friedlander, who's the Mashgiach of Panovich. He points out that Hanukkah stands for Chanukah Pei, right? We say it stands for Chanukah Pei. We rested on the 25th. And he asked, if the Jewish people managed to conquer an entire army, right, imagine something, let's say nowadays, you have a small country, and they manage to defeat the world power, now they're the number one world power, and they declare a day to celebrate their victory. What are they going to call it? They're going to call it the day that we managed to take control of the entire world. We're so powerful, look what we accomplished. And what do the Jews call their holiday? We call their holiday, we rested on the 25th. They finally left us alone, right? We're not interested in being the number one world power. We don't care. We don't need to control the world. That's not our interest. Our interest is not, as some people might have misrepresented some elders of Zion, that was never our intent. We don't want to control the world. We declare today to celebrate the fact that they finally left us alone on the 25th. And that makes sense with what we're saying here. That it's not that we defeated the entire Greek Empire. It's that with Hashem's help, we miraculously were able to fend off Yerushalayim and regain control of Yerushalayim. The last source here on the page is from the Yabia Omer, which is Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. I really just brought it because he quotes the Amar Tzlius, but I don't have on my Bar Ilan database the Amar Tzlius, so it's here in the Yabia Omer. And he quotes, the Gemara says, "My Chanukah, right? Why do we celebrate Chanukah? Umaisi hanes shapach Hashem." And the Gemara mentions the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days. It should have only lasted for 1 day. Hashem performed the miracle for us, and it lasted for 8 days. And that's why Chazal established them as days to say hallel and to praise Hashem. Why doesn't the Gemara there mention that the reason why we're celebrating is because of the miraculous victory? Like we say in davening, it's because of the miraculous victory. Hashem, you gave over the strong into the hands of the weak, and the many into the hands of the few. Ella the Maariv Tzlius writes, rather, mishum hateva. The miraculous victory is not something that goes beyond natural means. It is a miracle, but it's a miracle which is concealed. It's a miracle like the Six-Day War. It's a miracle that one could, if one wanted to, explain it naturally, but that we understand that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us, and that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeing to it that history leads us in the proper way. And this is reminiscent of a well-known Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban writes, V'chasher yirtza erokim, this is not on the source sheet again, I apologize, V'chasher yirtza erokim be'eda o b'yachad, when Hashem chooses a community or an individual, V'yaseh mehem mofes b'shimei minhogo shel oram v'tivo. And Hashem performs a miracle that goes beyond the natural. So yizbaro akol b'tah hadera sa'er akuram, that's a proof against what some others may argue, that the world just runs, just takes its natural course, and that God doesn't get involved. So this, when Hashem performs a miracle, that's proof that Hashem is really the one guiding the world. Ki ha-mofes ha-nifra meyosh yesh ra-olam erokam echad shel v'yodeo mashgiach v'yachol. Because an obvious miracle, an open miracle, shows the entire world that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to guide the world through history. And then the Ramban writes, V'achin yomar ha-kosev b'mofsim, that's why when Hashem performs miracles, the Pasuk tells us, and this is referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the miracles of Mitzrayim, R'man teidach yani Hashem b'karev ha'aretz, that Hashem performed the miracles that we'll know that He's our God and that He performs miracles in the land. L'holos ala hashkacha, to teach us that Hashem is guiding history. Ki ro ezav esor emikrim kedaitem, that Hashem didn't just leave the world to happenings, that Hashem is guiding every step of the way. Because Hashem is not going to do a miracle in every generation. If an individual in one particular generation asks Hashem, show me proof, Hashem is not going to give proof to every individual in all the later generations. But Hashem wants there to be a way that every individual can know that Hashem created and guides the world. So Hashem commands us to continuously have a reminder so we can remember what we saw. The Nazik Adavra Banaim, and we should teach our children Uvnaim, and our children will teach their children Uvnaim with their Achron, and their children will pass it on to the latest generations. Umin Hanisim Hagedolim Hamifursamim, from the obvious miracles that we all learn about in Chumash, are the Moda Benisim Hanistarim, will come to recognize the hidden miracles, Shehem Yisera Torah Kura, which is the foundation of the entire Torah. She'enu Adam Chirek B'Teras Moshe Rabbeinu is a very powerful way of saying it, that for a person to have a portion in the Torah, a person has to be Ma'amin B'Chol Devarenu Mikreinu, a person should believe that everything that happens to us, She'kuram Nisim, that everything is miraculous, Ein Behem Tevo Minhago Shel Olam, that it's not just the world running its natural course. In other words, when we see something that's miraculous, that causes us to pay attention to everything else that happens in our lives, to things which might have appeared natural, but that we recognize are really, in truth, miraculous. And that's why what happened over the course of Hanukkah was that we were able to fend the Greeks away from Yerushalayim. That was a tremendous miracle. They were much more numerous than we were. It wasn't that we conquered the entire world and became the world power, it was we rested on the 25th, we finally managed to take control of Yerushalayim. And that was miraculous, and the fact that that was miraculous is something that we recognized when we saw the nace of the Parch Hashem and when we saw the oil last for 8 days. And our goal on Hanukkah, now it's wonderful to have the opportunity to learn together and to prepare for the upcoming Yom Tov. It could be that one of our greatest missions in the course of Hanukkah is to recognize, when we think about our own lives, we can see so many times where things happen, they could have happened a little differently. If they would have happened a little differently, we might have been somewhere else. One thing happens after another, and we think that, yeah, of course our life history, played out as it has, but, it didn't necessarily have to be that way. And we can look at all the brachos in our life, all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and we can recognize that it's all really miraculous. It's all the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding history and giving us everything that we have. So thank you again, everyone, for coming.